I want to tell a little bit about me. Growing up, I couldn't speak to three or four people in front of me. I would stutter so bad. A few years later, God began to deal with me to pastor. And I said, who, me? I can't even communicate with three or four. And you want me to preach? And I was in a revival a little after that, and I surrendered to preach, and I said, Lord, if you want me to preach, you'll have to open the doors. Lo and behold, the pastor that I was sitting underneath got a call from a church, wanted to know if he would be interested in it, and he wasn't, and he gave me my name, and been preaching ever since. God called me to a small church and felt that after a while felt I needed some education. So after 16 years of being out of school, I went back to college and graduated in 4 years. Blackaby says this, what have you done that only God can do in your life? Think about that. I thought about there's one thing that we all ought to claim, and that's I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and I can't do that by myself. I have to do it with God's grace. What a wonderful God that we have. We just sung how great is our God. He's always there with us, isn't he? He will never forsake us. And I want to preach this morning upon the greatest commandment of them all. And if you have your Bibles, to turn to Matthew 22, starting with verse 34. I was supposed to preach this last Sunday here, but the weather saw to it that, and I thought the greatest Valentine is right behind me, the cross. We share it with all kinds of Valentines and give stuffed toys and jewelry and flowers to show our expression to our loved ones. But how do we express our love for God, for what he has done for us? In the 22nd chapter of Matthew, I'm reading from the King James, starting with verse 34. And it says, but when the Pharisees had heard, he had put the Sadducees to silence, and they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments brings all the laws and the prophets. What a great statement that is, isn't it? Love is abused, the word loved in our English language, don't we? But how much do we love the Lord is a question. They had 613 different laws during that day that the lawyer could have, that Jesus had to choose from. But what did he choose? Love is the greatest. In verse 34 of our text, we see that the Pharisees and heard that he, Jesus, had put the Sadducees to silence. Jesus had done a lot of things that they couldn't explain. The teachings of Jesus was beyond their comprehension. Who can think of things like Jesus can? He perceived it, right? He knew that he was going to be tricked. And so it's silent, the Sadducees and Pharisees. And so I thought about this in verse 34. I can see the Sadducees and Pharisees huddling around themselves and asking, what can we do about Jesus? Can't you see them? What questions can we ask him? What can we give him to trick Jesus and testing him? What can we do? I thought about what can we do with Jesus in our own life? Should be the question. And I believe the Lord gives us the scriptures to speak not only to that day that was written, but also today in our life. And then some more interesting things in verse 35. And one of them, which a lawyer asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? God's desire for us goes beyond the do's and the don'ts of the Ten Commandments. It goes in the heart of love, right in the center. God's desire that we walk with him supersedes all the do's and don'ts of the Ten Commandments. The interesting words that Jesus said, answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All? That word, three-letter word called all. Not just part of our heart, but all of it. We'd be surprised what we can do with God's power and with God's strength, can't we? If we give all of our heart, we give all of our soul, and give it all of our mind. I begin to look at those three words. The heart. What does that mean? If you have your heart into it, what does that mean? You're really going to it, right? In our English language. And we need to seek the Lord with all thy heart. And then we need also see the soul. The soul refers to life itself to the Jews. First thing in our heart, in our soul, needs to be life, don't it? How do we live a life? Our neighbors knows that we love God by the way we put our heart into it, the way that we put our whole soul into it. And then also it says mind. How many have your mind made up? How many heard that question? I got my mind made up. I know what I'm going to do. when we need to make our mind made up that I'm going to serve Jesus and the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Dwight L. Moody, one of the evangelistic in Chicago a long time ago, said, I never met a person who is 100 totally committed to Jesus Christ. I want to be that man. I want to be that person. That should be your goal, shouldn't it? And then as we grow in the love of God, look at verse 37 through 40 that we just read. I want to grow in God, and as we grow in God, our relationship with others grow too, right? I'm convinced that if our love for God is what it should be, going at it full, all of us, we can turn the world upside down with God's grace, can't we? With God's love, with our determination to go in the way that God wants us to go. And then we see that Paul says this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. And Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, if I die, I'm going to heaven, I know that, and he said, I'm gaining if I get to go to heaven. But if I here on earth, if I stay here, the Lord's gaining. That's the way it should be. I believe Paul is one of the greatest Christians you'd ever meet. Read about his life. Read these books that he wrote. We also see in Romans chapter 12, when I invited Jesus Christ in my heart, I grew up in a pastor's home. My life began to change. When we invite Jesus Christ, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Our attitude should change. Instead of serving the world, we should start serving Jesus Christ. And verses 1 and 2 on chapter 12 in Romans. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here's a challenge that God gives us. An all-powerful message. Living sacrifice. Not like the Old Testament where they had to kill the animal and put it on an altar. That was a dead sacrifice. Just think the sacrifice that my Jesus did on the cross. How can we repay the debt that Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary so that we could have a home in heaven? I don't think we can ever pay the debt, pay anything as it be worth our heaven. We can have the most money in the whole world and give it to Christ. He's already got it, so why give it to him? There's a song, he owns a cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every land. What can we do to repay what Jesus has done for us on the cross? I don't think we can repay him. There's not enough words that would be accurate to describe our love for him and the love for us. But remember the second commandment that I read this morning? To love thy neighbor as what? Help me out. Thy what? Thyself. I think we can pass what God has given to us, pass it on to someone else. Show how people can trust Jesus and accept the cross and accept the blood that's shed. And we can accept it, but we need to pass it on. We don't need to keep it to ourselves, but we need to pass it on to others. I think that's one way that Jesus would be pleased with us. And way we show our love for him. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, we become a new creature when we accept Christ, don't we? I'm having a hard time staying in the pulpit. That's my fault. I like to kid around sometimes. But Jesus is to be everything to us. Shall we continue in sin and grace abound? Romans 6. God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? Ooh, that's a strong one. I don't know about you, but sometimes the old nature creeps up. And I do things that I knew I shouldn't. That's, how many sticks your foot in your mouth? Right? We all do. But you know, God will forgive us if we ask him. So in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, I'm reading from the NIV in this one. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. I owe my soul to Jesus. Verse 9 gives of chapter 13. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, saying mainly, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then verse 10 also, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Which is the greatest commandment? It's the second one. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. said once that we must really love. Each other, because we surely love ourselves. In 1 John 4:20 says this: if someone says, "I love God," but hate his fellow believer, that person is a liar. And if he does not love love people, he cannot see how he can love God who he cannot love. Goes on and said, if you hate your brother, how can you love God whom you have not seen? In 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, is a great loved verse chapter. And he said, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, but do not have charity or love, I'm a resounding gong or a tangling cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand mysteries and have faith to remove mountains and have not love, what are you? What's the greatest gift that God given to us? How about faith? Is it important? Our faith is important. How about hope? It's important too, isn't it? But you go on to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, but the greatest of these is what? Help me out. Love. What a wonderful Savior that we have. Have you done things that only God could do in your life? I challenge you as you go out today, thinking down the road, think about, get your piece of paper out and sit and write the things that only God could done in your life. You can write one, I'll give you one right now, your salvation experience. But is there any other? I thought about breathe. Who gives us a breath? Who gave us the cross? I appreciate the big cross that you got in front. We need to center around the cross of Calvary, don't we? Our world is turned upside down. And I'm not going to get into politicians, but politicians, they don't know the answer. Jesus Christ does. And we need a spiritual revival. And it's got to begin with us as Christians. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I will, what? You know what? Heal their land. But need to begin with us Christians loving God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all my mind, taking a stand for Jesus. We don't need to keep silent as the Sadducees and Pharisees were that day, but we need to stand up for my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. There's nothing that I can do or you can do to repay the debt that Jesus paid on the cross because we were sinners. Nothing that we can do. I joke around as people go down and say, well, what do you know? And I said, Jesus saves. And they're so shocked. That's a good answer. That's all I need to know, Jesus saves. And he will heal our land. What a great God that we've got. And we're going to sing an invitation just a little bit. And if you need to make a decision for Christ, now's the time. The devil's got us buffled. We just put it off for a minute. But you need to do it when God begins to speak. And God wants to speak in your life. Will you be obedient? If you can't, a lot of times when you see things that God's called you to be, I can't do that. That's out of my comfort zone. I'm shaking in my boots tonight, not today, because I'm out of my comfort zone. I'd stutter so bad, I mentioned that, that people couldn't understand me. And the Lord saw to it that I spoke to 1,000 people at once. Not me. I can't do it. With God's grace at my side, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to have a word of prayer as the invitation will come at this forward just a time. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the grace that you've given us even today. Thank you for the invitation time that we can come and get things right. And Lord, we thank you for this church, Calvary, that you would touch it. Give strength of those in leadership position. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.